Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Hello. Happy afternoon. It's 1 o'clock. I'm Matt Kolsky. I'm staring at Michael Urban. I have to tell you, I didn't want to spoil this before the show. Well, first of all, I'm very excited to be working with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Feeling is mutual. I'm pumped up. I'm having the best time.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for you to be having the best time. Your hat.
Mm-hmm.
I assume this is golf related.
No.
No?
No. Skin?
Like a skins game? And it says Scottsdale on it. But I will say what jumps out when one greets a Michael Urban on a Saturday afternoon, February, whatever the heck day it is at 1 o'clock, is a bright red hat
mm-hmm.
with big letters that say skin on it. So I was going to say, if that is a golf hat, it's flirting with being a porn hat. But now I'm thinking maybe it is a porn hat.
It's a strip club. Your instinct.
So it's basically a porn hat.
But I get your instinct. Skins is golf. Scottsdale. A lot
of
golf.
Golf.
Right. But no, no. This is a very
Scottsdale.
Big part of spring training, by
Thank
the way.
You. What a great... You jumped me on it because it was right there for both of us. What a great transition. Pitchers and catchers have reported.
Hey now. Isn't today first full squad for the A's?
Yes. Full squad's reporting over the next few days in general.
A's a little bit early because of the Japan trip.
Not full squads because none of the players have been signed.
But wait, Matt.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait. Do we need the breaking news sounder? Somebody get me a breaking news sounder. Hold on.
Yes!
That's not it. That's wait right. a second. Let's see. Maybe.
Crazy.
Nope. Breaking news.
Breaking
lies.
News.
Oh, lies!
That actually probably is
that
appropriate.
That probably does fit. Yes. Let's stick with that one. I'm reading a headline okay. from my San Francisco Chronicle.
Well,
as you know, every Saturday.
That's how we get breaking news, is reading newspaper headlines on the paper which we hold in our hands.
Which was printed 12 hours ago, probably. But as you know, I get my 8 quarters and I feed the box. That's old school Saturday is what I call it.
Feed the... Oh, okay. Meter, yeah.
No, the newspaper box.
Oh, a what?
Yeah, they have those still.
Who?
Some people don't even know that the newspapers in the hard copy exist, but they
got
do.
A credit card a slot on those
they
things.
Don't.
Or what?
They don't, but they'll take nickels.
Okay,
if you want to do $2 in nickels,
nickels
or $3 in nickels on Sunday,
nickels. You guys got nickels back
nickels
there.
Are still a
guys
thing?
In the guys in the nickels. Anyone still have nickels? We holding on to
Dude,
nickels? No, the kids don't.
We've
keep
got
nickels
breaking
anymore.
News.
Okay, sorry.
According to the Chronicle, which was printed 12 or more hours ago.
Okay.
Headline: Giants making moves at brisk clip.
Brisk.
Let me throw some names at you.
All right, I want to hear them.
Stephen Vogt, Gerardo Parra, Craig Gentry, Yangervis Solarte.
Oh, I like that. That's a good name.
That's a good name.
I like.
Is it Yangervis Solarte?
Yangervis? Someone find out.
And Trevor Gott.
Somebody call Giants PR. Is it Yangervis or Yangervis? Who?
Exactly.
Any relation to Jared?
No, this is Gott with T's.
Oh, shoot.
Not F.
Well, we tried.
Just like Tittle insists on always saying when he mentions George Kittle, no relation. Which makes no sense, but it makes me laugh every time he does it.
So you're saying they've made a lot of moves.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't mean much.
At a brisk clip. But the fact that I would say the average casual baseball fan probably knows who Stephen Vogt is.
Yeah.
Because of what he did in Oakland. Maybe Gerardo Parra, because he probably hits 800 against the Giants.
Yeah, Giants fans know Gerardo Parra.
I like Parra. I like
you know,
that pickup.
Our old pal Grant Brisby wrote a really funny article in his new job at The Athletic this week about former Giants who actually never were on the Giants.
Yeah,
because
that
when Gerardo Parra signed, it was like, oh yeah, he's been here before. But no, he's not. There's just guys that feel that way. He, right. he put together a great collection of them.
Well, John Andreoli, right?
It's the right kind of name, yeah.
How could I possibly have that name in my head?
I don't know.
Because I hadn't heard it until the Giants got him, and now the Giants don't got him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good era.
It was. I was just figuring out how to, you know, roll right into Andreoli.
Yeah,
like the name itself.
So the point that maybe we're obliquely dancing around here is baseball's here, kind of, and
but the best players aren't.
Well, the best players aren't, but also if we're going to look locally, I think we all understand what the A's are doing, right?
Yes.
And fantastic.
They came out
cornucopia of color combinations.
It's they have a young core that they love. There are even new pieces of that young core set to debut this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're adding around the edges. They're augmenting to try to let that young core sign, and then presumably when they're in the playoff hunt come right. trade deadline time, we'll see what else they need. That's all. I'm kind of putting that to the side because I get it.
Right. Because they were really open about it before last year started. Like, Billy Beane has never wanted to say rebuild. That's the word he's always avoided. But he dropped it before last year. He finally said, "This we got to rebuild."
And they did.
And it's going well.
And it's underway.
And it's going well.
I would say so. I would say it's going
97
very
wins,
well.
Yeah.
But the Giants, to me, it's not just that they were bad last year or that right now sure looks to me like they'll be bad again this year.
Just like they were 2 years ago and 2.5 years ago.
All right, calm down. It's that new regime, kind of, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's part of what I think we need to talk about is it a new regime, really? If, because only one name has changed. Sabian's still there.
Right.
Bear's still there.
Well, and it's Sabian's.
Bochy's still there.
Would you say, like, your hesitation to say it is a new regime? I think it's all about Sabian's presence. More than Bear, more than Bochy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. That's what makes me question how new the regime is. That's mm-hmm. probably true, although maybe that's wrong. Maybe Bear is the guy we should look at. Because who's really in charge?
That is a good question. We don't really know.
I think it's Larry Bear.
I'm still assuming in terms of baseball decisions that everything's got to be run past Sabian. Now, maybe it's different now that someone from the outside, but there's no way Bobby Evans was doing moves with that.
Bobby Evans clearly never... I would agree with you. In my mind, never had autonomy from Sabian. Allegedly, Farhan does. And I'm not saying he doesn't. It's way too soon for me to judge that from the outside. I'm asking because I just look at what's happened and the answer is really nothing.
But they're making moves at a brisk clip.
Let me give you Jim Gray again.
Well, that wouldn't mean much.
Those moves are all nothing moves. No offense to Gerardo Parra, who,
or
as
Trevor
you said,
Gott.
A little bit of offense to Trevor Gott. No offense to Gerardo Parra, who's a professional outfielder, which is something that the Giants are actually in short supply of. So that's fine. I get why you sign a Gerardo Parra. Here's what I don't get. 2 years of the same garbage. We're heading into year three now. It can't be the same garbage. Like, it takes time. It could be different garbage. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. It's all relative. They're professionals, all that stuff. Disclaimer, these guys are great at what they do. But you're a bad team for 2 years in a row with the same core and the same basic philosophy. Hey, we got all these guys who've been good a couple times in the past. What if they do it again?
Right. Championship core is the phrase that we hear thrown out all the time for Giants apologists.
I'm pretty sure all of us non-apologists agree that is not a viable plan for a third consecutive season. Even if, what's interesting is, I was kind of ready to say, all right, if this is what you want, let's see what happens the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it, but I was like, okay, these guys have done things in the past. This is more or less how you built World Series winners. Let's see what happens. 2 years, fine. Third year, no.
No.
Even if the odds of success are the same. Like, today's Giants roster has the similar odds of success, I would say, to last year's.
Agreed.
Last year, I was like, all right. This year, No.
See, last year, what they were hoping on was that the two franchise players that they acquired in the offseason, franchise players for other teams, which would be obviously McCutcheon and Longoria, figured that might be give them enough of a boost, maybe re-energize the clearly declining, air quote, championship core. But what you had was every single member of that championship core underperforming last year, and you could argue that Longoria and McCutcheon underperformed as well.
There's no argument about Longoria.
Right.
I mean, McCutcheon started to come around, and he did lead the team in homers, even though he only played like 100 games for him.
Yeah, and Longoria had a good stretch, but we're talking like 2-3 weeks.
Here's Longoria's season. Career low tying .244 batting average. Career low 54 RBIs, career low 16 home runs, career second lowest 25 doubles, and career second lowest 117 hits. And that's the year that beat those homer and double and hits year, he played 74 games. Mm-hmm. So he had by far his worst season, by far. And he's 32, not 38, all right? So I'm not saying they picked up Longoria expecting 290 and 25 homers, but 244 and 16 is awful.
Agreed. I think so, they did 25 homers is probably what they expected at minimum if he stayed on the field.
All I'm saying is you can expect a 33-year-old Evan Longoria to hit, you know, 270 and 20 homers, and that's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have your whole philosophy and plan again rest on all of your 30-something dudes doing all the best they can still mm-hmm. at this age. And all of those things having to go well for you to succeed. You especially can't do that when you still haven't done anything to address the fact that you have one of the poorest minor league systems in the entirety of Major League Baseball. It's so bizarre. It's very hard to understand. And even if they somehow pull this Bryce Harper rabbit out of their hat, congratulations, bully for them. It still doesn't answer any of those questions about what is the plan here. We will try to answer those questions later in the show. Coming up, though, a little bit of Warriors. The unofficial, not even close to half, first half is over. We are at the All-Star break. We'll talk to Warriors beat writer Anthony Slater in about 15 minutes. He is in Charlotte for the games. I will interrogate him about last night's rookie sophomore challenge, which I watched with a magnifying glass. We will talk about the Warriors. How foregone a conclusion is a Warriors title right now? I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Michael Irvin.
Yep.
It's 95.7 The Game.
Back to Kolsky and Urban.
I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Michael Urban.
Yeah.
James on the ones and twos. You know I love your taste in music, right, James? So why are you taking cues from Michael Urban? If you know I love your taste in music, why?
He's not taking cues from me. He likes this, too. He's not kissing my butt. If you are,
I'm not actually angry.
Everyone rest in peace, Mac Miller.
We're going to get into Warriors. Specifically, how foregone a conclusion is a title? We got Anthony Slater coming up in about 10 minutes live from Charlotte, and I have Klay Thompson recorded from Charlotte. And it is glorious.
What do you got?
But here's a thing I quickly want to address, because it's so funny to me. Obviously, part of doing this job is everybody thinks you hate their team and are a homer for whatever team they hate.
You're either a homer or a hater. No in between.
Yes. You're both all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I just want to make a point based on this text that we got. We were talking about what are the Giants doing? Because what are they doing? 707 text.
A five-part text.
Well, it's the first one. No, it's separate text. But it's the first one that it's really a one-part text. And it says, Giants last 9 years, 3 World Series titles, A-0. So I'd say the Giants make better off-season decisions than the Choakland Athletics. How's that going, Billy Bean? So just a couple of things. First of all, congratulations. 3 titles in 9 years is great. Although I would point out it was 3 titles in 5 years and then 4 years of no titles.
Yes.
But great. That's good. I don't know if those titles mean any more than the ones the A's got in the 70s, but great. 8 titles are great.
Kind of the goal.
I'm not sure if people expect us to sit here and talk about those titles, but it has nothing to do with our conversation. And I would also point out the fact that the Giants won those World Series actually doesn't mean they make better offseason decisions than the Oakland Athletics. Certainly doesn't mean they're doing that now, but even at that time, because how good your offseason decisions are not necessarily, it's not like the team who wins the title each year is the team that made the best offseason decisions.
Right.
Luck is involved in winning titles, decisions made in drafts,
at the deadline,
season,
before the July 31st
all
deadline.
All that stuff comes into it. So I just don't know, and it's great, and I really should probably just ignore that text, but, you know, I would just tell you, as a Giants fan, if a title that was won 5 years ago is enough, then yes, I'm doing this wrong. Because I thought you wanted your team to improve and continue to get better and win as much as possible ongoing.
So you don't have to lean on those past titles, which is what a lot of fans do. That's why they bring it up. It's almost to mask what's going on right now. I mean, and let's face it, Matt, when they won those titles, all 3 of those titles, were they favored going into the playoffs? Hell no. I think it's fair to say that they were a surprise World Series champion all 3 of those years.
Yeah, and again, the way they built those titles is not totally unlike the way they conceived the team the last 2 years.
It's just that the guys marks were hot.
And it has failed for 2 consecutive years, so the idea that doing it again makes sense is a little crazy to me. And again, the idea that, oh, well, you can't criticize them because they won a title 5 years ago. I just don't get it. I don't get it. That's all. And it has nothing to do with the A's. Literally nothing. Golden State Warriors, I think we all agree, are going to win a title.
The Warriors did a great job.
Right?
Yes.
Foregone conclusion.
It would be a massive disappointment and failure if they did not.
But if we're going to have that essentially as a foregone conclusion, I think it's fair to interrogate what exactly that means.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we can start with you and I agreeing if everybody stays relatively healthy around the NBA, the Warriors are prohibitive, almost guaranteed favorites to win.
No question. A little side question. Does that feeling, is it stronger now for you than it was right before the season started?
Not really. It's okay. The same. Same as it was.
Mine's a little bit less.
Same as it was throughout most of last year and the year before.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I had real doubt that the Warriors would win a title was literally
after game 5 of the Western Conference Finals last year?
After game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. After game 7 of the NBA Finals in the year they lost. I didn't think they'd lose that game until it was over.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I've never believed they wouldn't win. No. Game 5? No. At game 7 when they were down double digits, never thought they'd lose that game.
Really?
No. But I was completely baffled that they had gotten into that
predicament.
Pile.
Yeah.
But it just never occurred to me that they wouldn't be able to dig out of it. I just thought they were so much better than the Rockets. And I know they didn't play that way all year,
right?
But I just looked at the roster and had seen what I'd seen the year before and from these players their whole careers, and I just thought they were a lot better than that Rockets team. I thought the gap, even though the Rockets were the number one seed, I still feel like this year's Oklahoma City Thunder are a bigger threat to the Warriors than the Rockets were last year. And I realize that sounds ridiculous given that they literally went to seven games. And if there are those who would say if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, maybe the Warriors don't win.
Right.
I just don't believe it. I don't feel that way.
And those same people that say if Paul was there, the outcome might have been different, will point to the fact that, well, it took a historic collapse from beyond the three-point arc for the Rockets to give it to the Warriors. That's from the Rockets fan perspective.
That's fine. And that might be a more valid opinion than my opinion. I'm just telling you what I believe.
Sure.
We'll never know. But my belief is I see more threats this year than I thought the Rockets really were.
Oh, no doubt. Not necessarily in the West, but yeah, overall. Like, how many teams do you have that borderline concern you in the West? I've got the Thunder and that's it. Go over to the Eastern Conference. I've got four teams that I would be... It wouldn't be a foregone conclusion for me if in this year's NBA Finals.
Because that's... Wait, already? Full health, it wouldn't be a foregone conclusion? Fully healthy Warriors, there's an Eastern Conference team that you would give more than a 5% chance?
Yes.
Which one?
It would be... Two of them are so close. I'm going to go Philly just because the way I just, you know, it's all about matchups. I think they match up very, very well. Very well with the Warriors, and it's going to be dependent on can Boogie get to the point where he mitigates the damage that Joel Embiid did, because if not, that's why they scare me.
And some texters agree. 650, Warriors will have a legit matchup in the East Finals. Well, I think they mean from the East in the Finals.
Yeah, the Bucks and Raptors don't scare me. The
Sixers,
Celtics.
Bucks, Celtics, Raptors. Okay, so Celtics and Sixers scare you.
Mm-hmm.
So just give me like a percentage-ish.
20?
You would give the Boston Celtics or Philadelphia 76ers somewhere in the range of a 1-5 chance of beating the Warriors in the Finals?
Yeah.
Okay. I would not. At full health. But I think that's what this conversation is about.
Which East team do you have, though, as a top? Like, I've got my two, 1A and 1B in the Celtics and Sixers. Who's one for you in
the
East?
I think the question of who is most likely to come out of the East is a different one than who has the best shot against the Warriors. I would say the two teams that would scare me most from the Warriors' perspective specifically are the Bucks and Sixers. Just because I haven't seen it yet from the Celtics this year.
Right.
The Celtics, as I imagined them before the season, would be in there too.
With Gordon Hayward playing like Gordon Hayward.
Yes. I don't know. Toronto, I don't know why.
I'm with you, man.
But a part of it, I think, is I don't know if I totally buy Kawhi is fully healthy, since he still, I don't think, has played a single back-to-back all year. And I just don't know. They would need guys like Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby and Marc Gasol, whose acumen I don't doubt, but his age and endurance maybe a little bit.
He's our Vitas Sabonis right now.
But that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's no doubt.
510 texter says 76ers came into Oracle and sent a message to the Dubs 2 weeks ago that they don't fear the Dubs. And I think that's true. And I think all four of those teams are valid contenders, right?
Right.
I still think I make the Warriors prohibitive favorites over any of them in the finals as of now. But I think that's what this question of how foregone a conclusion is comes down to. It's a two-part question. One is, who are the challengers and how much do they scare you? And then the second part of that question is, okay, now let's throw in an injury. Mm-hmm. Actually, I take it back. Let's throw in an alien abduction. I don't want to... No jinxes.
Okay.
I don't want to get into projecting people being hurt.
Can I throw a golf analogy at you? See what you think of it.
A golf? G-O-L-F?
Yes.
Like your hat is not a golf hat, but you want a golf analogy.
Correct.
Okay.
I think, remember when Tiger, the aura was gone? Tiger used to be able to walk on the first tee on Thursday and had the field beaten mentally.
Yes. In like 2000.
And then that disappeared, right?
Uh-huh.
The Young Bucks are like, oh, he's beatable. We can take him down. He no longer has that first.
You're saying the Sixers don't feel that from that.
I think the Warriors which is interesting because if fully healthy, this is the best Warriors team we've seen, I think. But I also think, even if they're healthy, because of some of the games that we've seen this year, the aura of invincibility is gone. Teams think they can beat the Warriors now.
I'm going to have to see it in the playoffs before I really believe teams really think that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's now go, though. It is the All-Star break. Let's go to the All-Star City.
Let us.
Charlotte, North Carolina. I was there a week too early. I just happened to visit a friend in Charlotte a week ago. Oops. I really blew it, I think. But Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors for The Athletic, is there right now. We'll get into some of the stuff going on at All-Star Weekend. But before that, I'm going to throw the question we've been bouncing around at Anthony. In your mind right now, with a healthy Warriors team, how foregone a conclusion is a title? Is there anyone on either side of the bracket that to you has more than, you know, a puncher's chance, like 5% or so, to actually upset them? You guys are going to have to put Anthony on the air for him to answer that question. Anybody? You guys want to put Anthony on the air? It's important to pay attention to the show that you're producing. Anthony Slater, welcome to the program. How foregone a conclusion? You can now answer the question now that the producers have woken up.
I would say above 5%, but not that much, you know, further above it. But, you know, the East teams are way better than Cleveland was last year, these four. You know, so that right there, I guess, like, increases the percentage. So, obviously, Cousins being added to the Warriors bumps the Warriors up better than they were. But, you know, they also chemistry place at that point. We don't know. I mean, KD's free agency will be that much closer. Another incident might pop up. There just might be awkwardness. And, you know, the team that I think they're starting to pay more attention to is Oklahoma City. They had an unbelievable first half. Paul George is playing the best he's ever played. And just the history of the Warriors-Thunder rivalry and Durant's history there. Like, if Oklahoma City could steal one of the first two games and then you go back to Oklahoma City, it's 1-1, maybe Durant's in a very weird place. You kind of drop him in his house of horrors. Maybe you have some concern about that.
Well, you also have history in Oklahoma City, if I remember correctly. So let me ask you, what we're seeing from Russell Westbrook this year is, I think, the best team basketball we've ever seen him play. It's also the worst he's ever shot the ball. Do you see this as Russell turning a corner in some way in terms of the way he's playing defense this year, the way he's sharing the ball, or is this just Russell missing a lot, so sharing the ball as a consequence more than as a plan?
Yeah, I think he's been forced into it a little bit. But I think some people forget who Russell Westbrook was before KD left. Yeah, sure, after KD left, he went on just this usage binge and did the triple-double thing, and they became obsessed with all that. But, I mean, Kevin Durant won an MVP with Russell Westbrook as his teammate. Kevin Durant won 4 scoring titles before the age of 26 with Russell Westbrook as his teammate. Like, it's not like he was an unwilling passer. He just, once KD left, they just built that entire team around getting him triple-doubles. So that became the narrative. Now Paul George has proven himself, at least this year, to be that elite level of superstar scorer, basically KD 2.0 in a sense. And he's kind of ceded some of the responsibility over to, over to Paul George. He also still is shooting a crazy amount. I think Paul George had a 47-point triple-double the other day. Russell still went 5-19 shooting. He's shooting like 22% from three, and he's still taking about 6-7 threes per game. So it's not perfect. He's not playing perfect, but he is paying more attention defensively. And when he does, he obviously has the athleticism to be a good defender. And he is passing a bit more, and that's those.
Hey, Anthony, a couple of minutes ago I made a golf analogy as it relates to the Warriors and the teams that think they have a shot. Even before this year, actually, I think this year's Warriors are probably, if they stay healthy, the best Warriors teams we've seen. But I think more than any other year, the rest of the league thinks they can beat the Warriors. Does that make sense? Like, Tiger used to have you beaten on the first tee on Thursday mentally. And there was a time, I would say, that every other NBA team knew they were beaten mentally before they even took the floor for game one. I don't think that necessarily exists, particularly with the young up-and-coming teams in the East. I think they truly believe they can beat these Warriors.
Yeah, they're built a little bit better. They're built more modern to face a Warriors team, you know, the wings everywhere, and just, you know, up-tempo games. Everyone's shooting crazy amount of threes. Milwaukee's chucking up however many threes per game. Brooke Lopez apparently he's being called Splash Mountain in Milwaukee, but he's I think he's made like 143s this year, which is crazy. So they just, I think teams just feel more equipped, you know, in a 3-point shootout with the Warriors, just because that's just now the strategy. So that's closed the gap, I guess, a little bit, at least in people's minds. And then I, you know, maybe seeing the mortality of this Warriors dynasty. If you follow Warriors coverage at all this year, you know that the senses that with KD potentially leaving, with Draymond aging a bit, that yes, they are as dominant as ever now, but it just seems like it's kind of in its twilight days. So maybe that gives you more confidence that even if you don't beat them this year, if you're chipping away, you could be the team that's await, you know, that's waiting at the top of the mountain when the Warriors finally fall off. So I think it's a kind of a combination of factors.
All right. So before we get into the All-Star weekend fun, a quick look at post All-Star break. And first of all, it looks like fun because the Sacramento Kings certainly have been that over the course of the season. And then you get Houston. So right out of the gate, two pretty decent Western Conference tests, and then right out onto the road. So look, I think we all know the regular season is of questionable value to the Golden State Warriors, but have they talked much about, you know, stressing this is the home stretch now? We have the All-Star break so late. It's really time to almost kick it into playoff level, is it not?
I mean, I'm sure they will talk about that, but last time I left them, they were all talking about vacation.
Right, yeah.
That was kind of the last thing on their mind. But, you know, this is my sixth year covering the league, and that's always what it is. You return from All-Star weekend, and Steve Kerr will probably have a tan from it, you know, more of a tan and maybe a little shaggy beard from his San Diego trip, and he'll be like, all right, now it's time. Now we kick it in. This is the home stretch. It's just kind of the reality of the NBA schedule. I think you mentioned the two games coming out of the break. You know, those are kind of sparkling. I know they're not, at least the All-Stars currently in Charlotte aren't pumped about that first road trip, because you mentioned, you know, where they're coming back to in that first road game. I don't know why the NBA did this, but they're leaving Charlotte and then coming right back to Charlotte. But they set themselves up well. I think they're two games up on the Nuggets, who are kind of fading a bit. And you expect the Warriors, you know, if the Warriors can go on a nice little rattle off, you know, 8-9 to start the break, I think they're going to have some separation out west. And then you stop having to worry about your seeding. You can worry about rest down the stretch, perfecting some stuff, maybe getting DeMarcus Cousins going in a couple games. So I think it's setting up well for the Warriors.
Anthony, there's two schools of thought, obviously, going into the All-Star break. One is, oh, it's the perfect time for the break. And some would say, as well as the Warriors have been playing, maybe they wish there wasn't a break right now, that they could keep this ball rolling. Where do you fall on that?
I think they were glad when it came because, they're, 16-2 in their last 18. With their last, like, four or five games, they were starting to kind of lose the focus that they had. At one point it was like, I remember leaving that road trip. They went out east, and they closed it out by just dominating Indianapolis in a tough game. It was like, wow, you know, this is as good as they've been on a day-to-day. And then since then, the wins kind of became a little, you know, they went to Phoenix and kind of played around a little bit. They went home and played around a little bit. And you could tell then they were like, all right, we're ready for the break. And I think they're happy when it came for Cousins. I think, you know, that he got his 10 games in. He sat the last game before the break. He's getting this week of rest. I think they really want to look at where he is coming out of the break health-wise and maybe start bumping his minutes over the 30-minute mark per game. And then I think Draymond needed it. You know, he had a little knee thing. He was kind of banged up late. So the fact that he doesn't have to go to All-Star weekend for the first time in 4 years, I think, is good. And so I think the timing is fine for them.
Anthony Slater is our guest. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. And it's All-Star weekend in the home of Steph Curry. I saw him jumping into the stands at a Davidson game. I imagine he's sort of the mayor of All-Star weekend, right?
So far, you know, it's funny because you don't see many billboards around town of him. It's pretty much all Nike guys or Jordan brand guys, which isn't a shock. You know, Jordan obviously owns the team, and Nike basically runs the league. So in that sense, it's not like you see his face everywhere, but he's been a major story. I mean, you mentioned the events he went to yesterday. He should be the story of Saturday night tonight. You know, they have the whole family three-point contest with him and Seth there. And he kind of hinted yesterday that there might be some type of Del Curry cameo tonight. That could become, you know, a story. That'll just be fun to watch Dirk's in the three-point contest, too. So he will kind of take over tonight, I would say.
Can we get his mom in the three-point contest? Did you see the half-court underhand that she nailed at that event?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Maybe you will see a Sonya Curry cameo. Maybe they'll add that to it.
The best part was that when she ran around like an airplane the way Steph does when he's on fire, I got a huge kick out of that.
See, I want to know, how's Seidel?
Seidel is the sister?
Uh-huh.
And she's married to somebody in the NBA, right?
To Damian Lee.
Yep.
Yeah. You could get six legitimate, probably decent three-point shooters out of the family. It's crazy how, like, I guess hand-eye coordinated that entire, you know, family is.
Go ahead, man.
Well, please.
Okay, Anthony, we are going to launch into this debate in a little bit, and I want to get your thoughts on it first. If they're healthy, and obviously that's a big if, is this the best Warriors team that you've covered?
You know, that first year, I'd say they're better than last year's team, just because they actually care more than last year's team. You know what? I'm just going to say, yeah. I mean, the center position is the big thing. Seeing them with Cousins for 10 games and just what he would do to Zaza changes the equation.
Anthony Slater. Follow him at Anthony V. Slater. Read his work in The Athletic. We appreciate the time. Have fun tonight in Charlotte, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
That is the question, as Michael Urban just asked Anthony Slater. Is this the best Warriors team yet? I think we both have our answers in mind. A texter has an answer. You send us your answers. 95795 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. Phone number, 888-957-9570. Is this the greatest Warriors team of all time? I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I see you bobbing your head. You approve of this?
Of course I approve of this.
All right.
Of course I do.
You may have requested this.
No.
No?
No, like I said, James just has to do James, and we're all good.
He has a musical vibe that the listeners have picked up on. I've worked shows where, I don't know, 45 minutes into it, someone texts in, James must be on the ones and twos. I can feel it.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
925 texter answering our question. A lot of texters. Answering our question. The question is this the greatest Warriors team of all time? Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. The phone number is 888-957-9570. 510, there's no way to know at this time. The sample size is too small. I assume that person is a statistician. That is true. However, I think we can speculate. That's sort of what we do here.
Yeah.
925, heads up, this is the best team. However, compared to what opposing teams were prepared for, the 73-win team was better. There are different ways to assess best. That's JR from San Francisco.
Thank
now,
you,
that
JR.
Is the sort of nuanced answer I'm looking for. What do you think about that? That 73-win team, no Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I see what he's saying. Heads up, this team would beat that team pretty clearly. Well, I shouldn't say that. I certainly believe this would be the better team matchup-wise. You've added Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
And although you've probably lost a little bit on the bench just because, I don't know, overall I think the bench is just as good.
Yeah, again,
I like those guys. Spates and Barbosa, I believe, are both still on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And Iguodala and Livingston were both a little younger and probably fresher.
See,
but
for me,
I love this bench. I think Jerebko's great. I love McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
I think he brings something the Warriors have not had on the bench ever in terms of the way he offensive rebounds and plays defense.
Right. So I would say, Matt, that it's difficult to evaluate the bench, like which bench is better than the other, because if you're looking, again, we're going to assume full health. So if we are, I'm going to say this bench is the best bench they've had because
talking full health.
Steve Kerr goes into a season with an idea of what his rotation is going to look like. a significant injury to a starter significantly changes that rotation and just it weakens it. There's no doubt about it. It's just like when you lose your closer, it's not as simple as plugging your eighth inning guy into the ninth and everyone just goes back. And it's all about familiarity. And if Steve Kerr has a rotation in mind and everyone stays healthy, that rotation means the bench is going to be just as productive as it's ever been and maybe more so. It's just, are you able to use this bench the way you originally intended? And when somebody gets hurt and they're out for a couple of weeks, that rotation changes completely, puts people outside their comfort zones, puts them in less of a position to succeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just not the bench that he imagined if somebody's hurt.
Yeah, but that's not the question. The question is, if they're fully healthy, is this the best Warriors team ever? And I think one of the here's why I'm not sure I agree with the answer we got from JR, although I do appreciate its nuance and thoughtfulness. He's saying basically the 73-win team, even though they might lose head-to-head to this Warriors team, relative to the rest of the league and because of the lower expectations around the league, relatively speaking, they were better. And I mean, I guess you can't totally argue relatively speaking, they won 73 games.
Right.
But I do think the reason that team won 73 regular season games, a reason, in addition to how good they are and the MVP level of Steph Curry and all that stuff, is that they brought a level of commitment, enthusiasm, and intensity on every night of 82.
Yeah.
That this team, last year's team, and even the year before, doesn't. And I'm not criticizing even. 510 Texter said it earlier when we were talking about how good the Sixers and Bucks are relative to the Warriors. You know, these regular season games against the Warriors mean everything to those other teams. Mm-hmm. Playoff intensity is going to be different. And so, obviously, this is a worse regular season team. And another texter...
But it's because they don't care about the regular season. That 73-win team cared.
Exactly. So another texter saying the 73-win team would out-execute any other year offensively and defensively. And again, if we're looking at results, mm-hmm. certainly that's true.
Yep.
They executed both ends every night, and that's why they won 73 games.
Because they cared, and they wanted to win every regular season game.
Yes. They don't play like that now.
No,
and
no.
I think that's probably to their, what's the opposite of detriment? That's
benefit.
Probably to, thank you. What's wrong with me? That's probably to their benefit in the long run.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So, yeah, in a way that's true, but I still think I make this the better team in any scenario because if executing at that level on an every night basis was a priority for this team, I think you'd see things would look different. Let's go to Coach Mo in the 510. That's a great rhyming handle. I'm very much in on it. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. Is this the best Warriors team we've ever seen? Coach Mo, what is up?
What up, Mo?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, I think this Warrior team, on paper, roster-wise, you could say that it is the best Warrior team. But the way they played the game, the way they did all the little small things together, the way that they just bought in and went with the game plan, executed and played basketball, and it would be scary to see what this team could do if they did all that. And I understand that you can only take so many shots a game, and that kind of, you know, hinders the other game plan they used to have. But the way that they played as a team, any coach in any sport would say, that's how you do it. And you would know, it, no matter what the situation is in the game, we would know what was the outcome was going to be. We're going to come back. We're going to post up Livingston down low. You just knew it was going to happen because they just played their game, the game, the right way. And that's what I admire most about this year and the other years is just the way that they played the game. Because if you teach any kid, any team, this is how we do it and this is how you play the game, I'm just a firm believer. You play the game the right way, the results will come.
Thank you, Coach Mo. I love that call. It's funny you say that because I you know, look, you know my religion around here.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
In this house, we worship at the altar of Klay Thompson. And,
amen.
I was watching, was it the Portland game where he had the 8 or 9 assists? And I was just thinking, and I think it was the previous one, because Portland, he didn't shoot well. It was a game where he was shooting well and he had a bunch of assists. Or maybe it wasn't. In any event, I was watching Klay Thompson and thinking the exact thing Coach Mo just said. Like, someday, I'm going to sit my son down in front of tape of the Warriors to learn how to play basketball, and specifically Klay Thompson tape to learn how to shoot a basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... whoever is in the business of making instructional videos for basketball can shut it down. It's Warriors basketball.
Yeah, just ISO on
Klay Thompson teach you how to shoot, and then...
and move without the ball.
Yes. He did have 8 assists, so it was the Portland game. Even though he wasn't shooting the ball well, his stroke is still the greatest I've ever seen. Best shooting motion of all time in my mind. And he was just... he was making every right play. Bounce, crisp bounce passes, moving without the ball, just
like Mo was saying, it's about executing, right?
It is.
And he is the guy, if you want to, like you're saying, who do you want to emulate as a basketball player, a complete basketball player? Well, you're going to be looking for a guy that executes properly. And to your point, Matt, when have you seen Klay not execute? When do you see him make a bonehead play? Never.
Almost never anymore. 408 texter says, this team has better talent, but the 73 team was so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They just got derailed at the end because of injuries to Steph, Bogut, and Iggy's back. I mean, and a pretty famous suspension. But yes, this is not about whether the 73 team should have won the title. They definitely should have, but they didn't.
Do you attribute that to the grind of the regular season trying to win every game? I don't.
I don't know if I attribute it, but let's just be 100% real. Try to take a step back for a second. If we're going to say, as several texters now have, that minor injuries to Steph Curry, Andrew Bogut, and Andre Iguodala, in other words, injuries you might consider wear and tear injuries, if those are the things that cost you a title, then maybe a little time off during the regular season would have helped.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll never know. I'm not going to put the blame there. I'm glad they did that. That 73-win season, going to Oracle most nights of that season is some of the best experience of my life. I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Mm-hmm.
As a sports media person, as a basketball fan, I'm glad they did that. But if they had taken a few games off, might Steph have been that much healthier? Right. Might Iguodala's back have been that much less sore? I don't know. I don't know. Certainly seems possible.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.